Measure Up Podcast, Episode 5, KPI Relevance versus Feasibility. G'day and welcome everyone. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. I'm passionate about making performance measurement easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. So in this episode about KPI relevance versus feasibility, our feature article is 5 KPIs for Christmas. We'll help Measure Up subscriber Alf answer his question about how to handle KPIs that you believe are great, but you're not sure you'll be able to measure efficiently. And we'll wrap up with a quick tip for what to do before you decide something isn't cost-effective to measure. Speaking of Christmas, I have very mixed feelings at this time of year. For one thing, we are bombarded by the media with images of snowflakes and reindeer, chimneys, mittens and chestnuts roasting on an open fire, even though here in Australia, the summer sun and subtropical rain are creating the kind of humidity that feels like soup. The wildlife that comes to mind is mosquitoes. And I'm thinking more along the lines of bikinis and iced tea rather than mittens and chestnuts. And then there's the commercialism, which I really don't get into. I keep thinking of all the stuff that ends up in landfill. But I have to be honest and say I just love seeing those pretty packages under a sparkling Christmas tree, and I love unwrapping a gift someone's given to me. Whatever your own feelings about Christmas, it's still the holiday season and it has a very different feel to any other time of year. So I hope you get to enjoy it with the people you care about most. For now though, we'll turn to the madder side of the silly season, but hopefully you'll sense the humour in this episode's feature article, 5 KPIs for Christmas. You can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Well, it's not called the silly season for nothing. Christmas, as it's celebrated in Australia at least, means scorching summer sun, crowded air-conditioned shopping centres, and agonising deliberations about cold salads or hot roast for Christmas dinner. It also means gift shopping, my personal nightmare before Christmas. What would it look like to measure such madness? Well, Christmas KPI number one is gift purchase cycle time. And this KPI means the average number of hours you spend gifting someone. It starts when you decide to purchase a gift for someone and ends when the gift is given, which is the moment its full weight rests in the hands of the giftee. You only have to count the actual time you actively give to the gifting process for that person. Don't count the elapsed time because you'll be double counting, since you're no doubt going to buy gifts for more than one person. Christmas KPI number 2 is the percentage of time spent in queues. This is a driver of KPI number 1, and this measure tracks the total hours you spend standing in queues to pay for the Buzz Lightyear and Monster High dolls and dozens of other gifts in the stores that everyone else decided to shop in at the exact same time as you, and it's expressed as a percentage of the total hours you spend shopping. You can opt to include in the total time how long it took you to negotiate traffic and find a car park, and you could even add this to the total queue time too. I mean, who can find a car park at a shopping centre at Christmas time without driving in circles and hunting down shoppers lugging toy-laden shopping bags in desperate search of their cars? Christmas KPI number 3 is the number of hours of gift hunt rework. Now, this is another driver of KPI number 1 and a companion to KPI number 2. This measure tracks how much time you have to spend searching for Zubles, which is the second choice for the intended gift, because all the Singamajigs, your first choice for the intended gift, sold out. It also includes the time you spend returning the Harry Potter Hogwarts Lego game after discovering someone else has already bought that for little Johnny, plus the time to find something else that little Johnny might want just as desperately. Christmas KPI number 4 is the gift comprehensiveness rate. Did you forget anyone? This KPI will help you avoid the embarrassing possibility of having a gift for almost but not quite everyone at the family Christmas get-togethers by tracking the percentage of your targeted giftees for whom you have already purchased and wrapped an appropriate gift. Keep this KPI close to your Santa list, but just remember, garbage in equals garbage out, so don't blame the KPI if you forgot to add someone to your Santa list in the first place. Christmas KPI number 5 is average giftee satisfaction. Now, this is probably the ultimate success indicator, how happy the recipients of your gifts are with your gifts. Don't try to use a survey form for this one, because the risk of it getting lost amidst all the torn and strewn gift wrapping is very high. You'll need to gauge satisfaction visually, and I'd suggest creating a carefully weighted index comprising a measure of the percentage of eye widening that occurs at the moment of unwrapping, a measure of the number of seconds from when the gift is unwrapped to when it is put down in favour of unwrapping another gift or playing with one already unwrapped, and a measure of whether or not the giftee asks for a copy of the purchase receipt and refund and exchange policy of the store where you bought it. Just a few disclaimers. Number 1, I don't believe in weighted indices. That was just a joke. Number 2, I'm not actually a Scrooge. I don't hate Christmas, but I really don't like the commercialism and the queues. And number 3, it won't be worth your time to measure any of these KPIs. Just deal with the madness and try and enjoy the holiday season despite it. But there is every chance that you have similar KPIs in your business or organization, KPIs that seem very relevant to what matters, but at the same time seem very infeasible to measure. And that's the topic of this episode's question, which comes from Alf, and he asks, how do you handle KPIs that you believe are great, but you're not sure you'll be able to measure efficiently? Well, often we're too quick to throw away a KPI because it seems infeasible to measure. A client of mine was in a tricky situation because they were spending a fortune measuring the accuracy of their inventory holdings, but they had to measure it under legislation by the industry. So we reviewed their sampling method and realized there was neither rhyme nor reason to the way they currently sampled inventory to test accuracy of their records. Someone just came up with the sampling plan, and that someone wasn't a research statistician with the skills to design samples. And that's what we did. We redesigned the sampling method with input from a qualified statistician, and not only did the new sampling plan cost them much less to measure their inventory accuracy, much less, but it also gave them a more reliable measure too. It can be surprising, actually, what you can do with samples, especially when they're properly designed by someone with the skill to do that. It's not at all uncommon that you can measure more accurately at the same time as reducing the cost and effort to do the data collection. So the key here is to truly test the options you have for data collection before you decide something's not worth measuring. Now remember, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. And one of the tools that I use to help test whether a measure is really worth implementing or not is measure definition. And that's our quick tip for this episode. Define your measures before you judge their feasibility. And the things you want to include when you define your measures are the formula or calculation, the data items that you therefore need. So your calculation should make the data items very clear. Otherwise, it's not a clear enough calculation. You also need to define the potential sources of these data, whether from an existing system or from a data collection system that's yet to be developed. You also want to define the frequency with which you want to measure. And finally, define the signals that the measure must be capable of giving you. You have to know how that measure is going to be used before you can really appreciate what's going to go into creating that measure. Now, if you want to save yourself some time in creating a template for defining your measures, you can read about one of my pump how-to kits that can help you clearly define your performance measures, and it's at stacybarr.com/products/measuredefinition.html. That's stacybarr.com/products/measuredefinition.html. Well, it's the end of another episode, and thanks again for joining me. You can download these podcasts and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.